Top story we're following for you this morning. Chaos around the White House last night as 20 to 30 gunshots ring out in the air. ABC senior White House correspondent Selena Wang was recording a social media video when those shots were being fired.
President Trump has said a deal is close, only for the two sides to remain far apart.
You can hear the shots very clearly there. To talk more about what happened last night, WTOP National Security Correspondent J.J. Green joins us live. J.J., good morning. What exactly happened near the White House, and how serious was this incident from a security standpoint?
Yeah, good morning, Ian. A 21-year-old man identified as Nasir Best, a resident of Maryland, opened fire near the White House security checkpoint at 17th and Pennsylvania before being shot and killed by Secret Service. A bystander was injured in that incident. From a security perspective, it's extremely serious because it happened within the protective perimeter surrounding the White House, one of the most secure locations in the world, as you know. An armed incident that's near that area immediately triggers a full-scale Secret Service response involving lockdown procedures, tactical deployment, intelligence coordination, and presidential movement assessments. Even though the suspect never breached the White House itself, that event underscores how quickly a single individual can force federal security into crisis mode, as you heard with those shots happening in the back of Selena Wang's live shot, as that exhibits to us.
Now, President Trump was inside the White House at the time. Does that change the security response and threat assessment?
Yeah, the moment authorities confirm the president is inside the White House during an active shooting nearby, that situation escalates dramatically. The Secret Service has to immediately assume the possibility of an assassination attempt, a diversionary tactic, or a broader coordinated threat until they can prove otherwise. That means every second matters. Agents lock down movement, they secure evacuation routes, monitor for secondary threats, and coordinate in real time with local and federal agencies. The fact that President Trump was inside the White House raises the sensitivity of the incident significantly because presidential protection is built around the principle that no threat can be treated as isolated until the entire environment is cleared.
And that raises another question. What concerns officials most? Organized plots or lone actors or somewhere in between?
Right now, the most difficult threat to stop is the fragmented lone actor. After 9/11, counterterrorism systems were largely built to detect networks, groups communicating, moving money, planning operations, and coordinating attacks. But today, many dangerous individuals, a lot of them, operate alone or in loosely connected online ecosystems. And their motivations may involve ideology. It could be mental instability, personal grievance, sometimes obsession with public figures or the desire for notoriety. And often it's a combination of all of those factors that makes these threats today harder to predict because warning signs may appear scattered across social media, police encounters, personal behavior, and online activity rather than in a structured terrorist organization. So the lone actor is the big threat right now.
Now, a month ago, we were doing something similar after the incident at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Now we've got this incident last night. Is this beginning to look like a broader pattern playing out?
1,000%. Yes, and that is what concerns security officials. This may not be a coordinated conspiracy, but it does appear to be a part of a growing pattern of instability surrounding political power centers in the U.S. In recent weeks alone, there have been multiple security incidents tied to presidential events or protection zones, including the White House Correspondents' Dinner scare, as we've pointed out. What officials are seeing is a threat environment fueled by political anger, online radicalization, conspiracy culture, grievance, personal instability, and it's all colliding at one time. The White House and other symbolic government sites are increasingly becoming emotional and psychological targets, not just political ones, Ian.
JJ, one last question. In terms, when these things happen, we hear the term ambient threat environment. What exactly does that mean?
It means the U.S. is no longer dealing with threats as isolated moments separated by long periods of calm. Instead, instability has become a part of the background atmosphere of daily life in the U.S. Political rage, conspiracy theories, again, online extremism, disinformation, something I've been talking a lot about in the last 5 months, threats against public officials, and social distrust. They're operating continuously now. Now, this pressure never fully disappears. Security agencies are functioning in a climate where there is always another threat stream developing somewhere. Online radicalization, violent rhetoric, stalking behavior, politically charged instability. That changes how the government thinks about protection, because the challenge is no longer simply stopping one attack. It's managing a constant state of elevated tension around public life and democratic institutions. And this is a part of what triggers people, in my view, and based on conversations I've had for many years with security officials, this is what triggers some people to move into action. So it's a very complex but ongoing theme of this happening in the background all the time now.